Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of the Anthony Harry Podcast. We're going to have another Make It Happen episode. What I would like to talk about today, as I sit with you while social distancing on a sunny day from my car, is I want to talk to you about why we are or are not successful with our creative efforts. And first and foremost, you got to know, this is my observation. This is not law or a irrefutable state of things. There's always a state of flux. There's always chance and circumstance, meeting the right person at the right time, being in the right place, knowing how to contribute to the conversation in just the right way. And then, boom, things start happening. And the next thing you know, your project is becoming way more than what it would have been without that interchange. But at the core of everything that we do, what I've come to recognize in broad strokes is that creative efforts are broken down into three categories. There's the work that we do, there is the quality of the work that we do, and then there's the marketplace. And what happens a lot of times is when someone is an aspiring artist, for example, maybe they want to draw comic books, and they go out and they say, hey, how do I break in? How do I, you know, do whatever? And they get critiques. The critiques are more often than not focused on the quality of the work. Not many times in the 20 years that I've been doing this have I heard conversations outside of ones that I've had the privilege of being the person giving critiques. Have I heard them go beyond, oh, here's how you make your work look better. And there's a value to that, but it's only 30% at best. And so I want to take each of those things and break them down. And I debated in which order I wanted to go in. Do I start with the least factorial one and work up to the most important one? Like, which way do I break it down? And so what I came up with is, you know, really, I just have to follow the process that I always follow. And it always starts with us as an individual. So I'm going to start with the work that we do, which coincidentally is the most important factor, mainly because we can't control the other things. And I'll get into that as we go through the quality of our work and the market. But the work that we do is way more than lines on a page or the materials that we use or any of that. The work that we do is also as foundational as, do we work on a schedule? Do we produce on a regular basis? Are we hitting personal deadlines as well as perhaps professional ones that we have the privilege to be subject to? The work also has to do with our mentality towards the work. Do we view it as a hobby and yet expect it to treat us like a career? Or do we view it as a career and then earn that respect through our actions? And there's a lot of things that play into that that are important to consider. The main thing is, for sticking with the example of being a comic book illustrator, or being a creator at all, really, is do you or do we sit down and treat the work at the level that we want it to treat us? That, I think, has to be step one of our conversation with ourselves. If we just enjoy something and we want to do it as a hobby, then quite honestly, you don't even need to listen to this podcast, or specifically this episode, because you're already there. If it's just a hobby and something you do for fun, then just do it. Just have fun, enjoy it. Who cares? If it's something that you want for it to treat you with a level of regard, such as providing financial income, being compensated, getting you into conversations with people so that you can create on a higher level that's more than just what you can personally build on your own. So if you want to get into collaborative work or published work or film work or anything like that, that you don't have the resources to go out and just make happen today because you just happen to have those resources, then there needs to be an adjustment to how we treat the work. for my part, this was a huge growing lesson for me, and that I didn't hear anybody talk to me about until I had already been pursuing it for 10 years. And I had talked to a lot of people. I had produced what I thought was a fair share amount of work. A lot of it's self-published work. I had done some stuff for indie publishers or small press guys, people you'd never find in a comic book store, but you see them on the convention circuit and things like that, or they're self-publishing online. And I had the privilege to do work with those guys. And there's a lot of lessons learned in that. But the lesson that I truly wish someone would have told me, like right out of the gate when I was 20 years old and I had made the decision that I want to be a comic book artist, I really wish someone would have broke down for me exactly what a comic book artist's day looks like. The fact that typically a lot of the guys work anywhere from 8 to 16 hours a day. You have the industry standard of getting a page done a day. So however long that, if you want to just stick with that, finishing a page a day, finishing anywhere from 20 to 24 pages a month, and then figuring out, you know, how many hours is that going to take? Then that's the level of commitment that a person needs to make. That would have been severely eye-opening, and it would have been also incredibly helpful because it would have put me in a different mindset. Now, to be fair, it's not like some of those statistics I just gave you are secrets. You could Google them nowadays. You can go to almost anyone who has even a small interest in producing comics, and most people have heard on some level, oh, well, you have to, you know, produce a page a day or something like that. But to take it all into account, the fact that the goal is a minimum of a page a day, that page by itself can take you, I can tell you from experience, some pages take 4 hours. Some pages take 24 hours. And if you're trying to do a page a day, you got to know that so you can average it out. You also need to know, you know, where do you need to go all in on your full rendering and detail and backgrounds and everything else? And what are some panels that you don't necessarily need to invest as much time into, because that's going to help. So it's not just knowing that it's a page a day and that they are, most days are going to be over 8 hours of solid work as an illustrator. But there's also the reality that there's ways to finesse a page, especially if you have the privilege of working in a systematic approach, which I have never had the privilege of in any of the books that I've gotten to do. I've had the privilege of doing it on one-off projects or illustrations and things like that, but not in an actual book where someone pencils, someone inks, someone colors, someone letters, things like that. In almost every situation, I've done all of the work. And so the 8 to 16 hours, that's just penciling. That doesn't count however many additional hours it's going to take to ink. And then in my case, you might as well just double that in the amount of time it takes to color, because I like things in color and I challenge myself to work in color, but I'm slow with it because I'm particular and I'm not as comfortable with that medium as I am with black and white or grayscale with using pencils. And so the work that we do, a great deal of our success in that category is going to be how we view it. If we want the outcome of our work to treat us as a professional and pay us as a professional and put us in a position to make a living as a professional, then we need to be willing to make the commitment to operate as a professional and earn all of that. And every single person that I've met who has push themselves to continually improve, to work as a professional regardless of pay, and to produce work on a scheduled regular fashion, all of them have gone on to find the success that they were looking for. It's an amazing thing to witness. There's still other elements, there's still networking and things like that, but a real key thing to keep in mind is we can't sell our work if we don't have work to show people. We can't convince an editor at a publishing company that we're the right person to hire for a project if we don't have samples of our work for them to evaluate. And so the work that we put in is immensely important, and I would argue is the most important facet, because it's the only element that we have true influence over. So before I spend the entire time talking about that, let's just move on really quick to the quality of our work. You might think that this is something that we have control over, and we do, but only to a small extent. I would argue that we only have 25% influence over what would be called the quality of our work. And the reason I say that is because so much of what's considered quality is subjective. The publisher, whoever is going to be hiring you, the editor, the art director, whomever it is, your work has to fit what they consider quality. And I don't know about you, but I've seen plenty of books that have been published where I look at the work or I look at who got hired for the project, and I don't understand how that happened. On one part of the assembly line process, either the penciler or the inker, they're not good. They're not operating at a level that publisher is known for, but for some reason, the editor, the hiring person, felt that that was the right person for the job. And I can't speak to where their decision-making comes into play, but I know that that's not always the most encouraging thing to see, especially if you are operating as a professional, sending out samples, owning your part of the relationship and really treating it with the respect that it deserves to give back to you what you hope to get from it. To go out and see that the people who are the decision makers, that their subjective discernment of what's good and what's not and what level that it's at, sometimes that can be very, very challenging to accept and not become discouraged about moving forward or continuing to operate in a way that is a manner that could warrant compensation but doesn't guarantee it, because we're doing it purely to earn our opportunity. The other factor is there's the people who buy the books. It's not just subjective in the process of getting hired or making a project, but we can look at our work and we can think, hey, this is the best book or the best piece that I've ever done. And there can be people who have even been following our work for years, and they might look at it and be like, you know, I really like that thing you did 4 years ago more. And it's a wild thing about art, because at the end of the day, that's what this is. It's art, it's entertainment, it's storytelling, and it is so subjective, because what is good one day is not good the next, and what is possibly our best work in the moment is not our most beloved work over time. And so that is a factor that we have to live with. It's a factor because it plays into our ability to get hired and get work, but it also plays into really how we perceive our own career. The biggest encouragement that I can give you is, don't worry about whether or not people like your work. Just don't worry about it. There's going to be people who like your work. There's going to be people who like your process. There's going to be people who like you as a person. And there's going to be people who just simply don't. They're not going to buy into any one of those categories. They're not going to like how you construct things. They're not going to like your manner of storytelling. They're not going to like your design choices. They may not like you as a person for some reason. And that just does not matter. What matters is that we make a commitment to continue to grow, to regularly grow and develop as a creator in whatever aspect of the creation process that we are in, and to constantly try to make whatever we do next our best piece of work, whether it's drawing or writing or coloring or inking or lettering or whatever it might be. It could be acting, singing, cooking. If you really want to go existential on it, it could be how you approach your marriage. It just doesn't matter. What matters is not the outside opinion of a person who is not directly related to what our goals are. What matters is that we are committed to constantly pursuing that goal to the point of realization. So it's very, very different if Joe Blow on the internet wants to rip you to pieces because they don't like your choice on the piece that you worked on, compared to a hiring editor who's now paying you and saying, hey, you're a part of our team. I'm paying you X number of dollars per page. I don't like how this one looks. I need you to fix it. Then that's a different conversation. But just the general opinion of other people, don't worry about that. Focus on the work. because then that again goes back to step one, which is the way we do our work is going to be the key facet to whether or not we're successful long term or even short term. The last part of it has to do with the market. The market is something that people, especially art people, we don't talk about a lot. And maybe, you know, I hear people say things like, oh, artsy people aren't good with business, or artsy people, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's all folly. Here's the reason a person doesn't know something is because no one's taken the time to help them understand it. That is 9 times out of 10 the reason why things don't make sense to other people. Now people can learn slower or more quickly. Some people can pick up concepts more readily than others. But the main reason why someone doesn't understand something is because they never had the opportunity to learn it. And often that can be resolved simply by offering to share that knowledge with somebody else. And I say this all the time. There's nothing more important, nothing more valuable that we can give to another person than to share with them our time and our knowledge. And so the market is something that I became aware of, quite honestly, in the last 5 to 10 years. It's not something that was readily talked to me about. And it is very much the business side of what we do as creative people. The market doesn't care about how you feel. The market doesn't care about what you look like. They doesn't care about how hard you've worked. Doesn't care about what you've sacrificed to accomplish your goal. The market only cares about what sells, period. And we all play into the market, whether it's through marketing and advertising and things like that, whether we're a consumer and we are helping to vote by how we spend our dollars, or whether or not we are contributing to it as a creator or a content distributor. And again, step one is the market can't make something successful that isn't available. So again, that goes back to step one. We have to finish our work before we can ever even become a part of the conversation. So if we're not completing work and we're not creating things that can go out and become successful, then we have nothing to talk about because we are not a part of the equation. But once we've produced a product, we've made it available, we're bringing it to shows, we're offering it to retailers, we're putting it out on our website, we're doing whatever we can to make it available for someone to enjoy, now you're in the market. And you have to treat it with the respect that it is, because it's not safe. It's very biased because it's all based on opinion. And it always follows where the attention and the money is. And there's no way around that. It's not about quality in the market. It's about perceived quality within the market. There are plenty of products that you can look at. You can do searches on YouTube. There are things that have come out or been offered or been displayed that have been ahead of their time, they say. They've been of such a high quality that when the market took a look at it, it didn't know what to do with it, right? I think one of my favorite examples of this is TiVo, which you can just go and look that up and do the research on your own. But the short version is that TiVo, if you say to most people who are somewhere between 25 and 50, if you said, hey, did you TiVo that? They know exactly what you mean. They meant, did you digitally capture the TV program on your DVR recording device? And the reason they say that is because TiVo was a name brand product that came out, became very, very recognizable. It was arguably the best version of what it did, offered for years. Like, no one even came close to it. And there were choices that were made in regards to the market that TiVo basically undermined their own success. And even though TiVo, much like if you say, hey, do you have a Kleenex in America, a lot of people know, oh, well, you mean a facial tissue. But Kleenex being the name brand product that a lot of people recognize, it's now almost synonymous with what the product is itself, even though Kleenex itself is just a brand. There's a lot of places in the world where you say, hey, do you want a Coke? And that, it could mean a cola, of any kind, but Coke itself is a very specific brand. But because of how they've handled themselves within the market, they're synonymous with a product. And my point in bringing all that up is that TiVo accomplished that aspect of success, but failed financially, because it didn't matter that they were the best. What mattered is that the consumer couldn't readily experience what they were offering. The market couldn't fully engage with what they wanted to do, and they didn't have the success that they could have had. So, you know, we see that in films, we see that in musical albums. Like, I know, I'm sure everyone listening to this has a movie that they love where you were alive when it came out and you went and saw it and you couldn't understand how it failed in theaters. Why didn't people go see it? And when you looked into that, you heard someone say, well, they totally failed the marketing. Like, my movie in that category is John Carter. They had a whole plan for a trilogy. I think John Carter as a film is super fun. I would have loved to have seen the next two movies. But because of everything that was going on, Disney failed in its marketing. And they didn't equip their... it was a brand new director, at least with live action. He was originally an animation director. Came up through Pixar. And then went over and had the opportunity to do John Carter of Mars with Disney, but they didn't equip him for what he needed to know so that he could help his movie be successful. And, you know, fast forward, now Disney doesn't even have the intellectual property rights for that, for the Edgar Wright Burroughs stuff anymore. So the market is going, you know, it doesn't care that they dropped $300 million into that movie. It doesn't care that they had everything built in place for the next two movies. The market cares about where's the attention and where is the money. And that comes down to, do we add value to our audience? And that can seem abstract at times. That's why social media, doing things like a podcast, doing YouTube, that's why they can have so much value for people and put people in platforms that allow them to achieve success that they simply couldn't otherwise, is because they have a product. They have value that they're giving, and then people want to, the market wants to then respond to them and make whatever their efforts are successful. The market is a tricky thing, and I could spend an hour just exploring that whole concept with you, but I won't. I encourage you to look into it, though. If you are someone who is a creative person and wants to create things or wants to have success, you just have to understand the different elements that are involved, so that, not so you have to be a master of all of them, but know what they are so that you can recognize when you meet people who are masters of those things and then team up with them. Get them to believe in what you're doing and then to advocate for you in whatever realm they have the highest amount of influence. Collaboration is undervalued in Western society. I think we talk about it more than we truly live by it. And all the greatest things that have ever happened were only lasting because of true collaboration. So the three elements that we talked about today is how we do the work, the quality of our work, and then the market, or you could say the market's response to our work. So I hope that whatever you're working on, you can take away from this podcast and find a way to make your work better, to make yourself more successful. If you feel like looking me up and telling me about it, then please do. I'm on social media, The Art of Anthony Harry. You can find that on Facebook. I'm also on Instagram and Twitter. Feel free to stop by and say hi. Let me know if there's any topics or thoughts or curiosities that you'd enjoy me digging into on this podcast. But more than anything, thanks for listening. Thank you to the patrons on Patreon and people who have decided to financially support the podcast through Anchor. And really to Anchor, too, for sponsoring the podcast. I really appreciate it. So thanks for listening. This has been a Make It Happen episode of the Anthony Harry Podcast. I believe this was episode 4 of season 2. And appreciate very much that you took the time to spend with me today. Take care, friends.